not concerning God. And there is about, you put your hope in Moses. But Moses was talking about in John chapter 5. And there is quoting the Old Testament, the prophet Isaiah. It's very, why? Because faith, and it's through faith, naturally becomes hope. If you are praying and you are not having a movement of hope,
I'll record it. I will place it on the website only so you can listen to it.
So, but it's important that we understand that God works through the virtues. God doesn't work through my feelings. My feelings sometimes are the obstacle I have for getting with God, because I put them before God. So I don't feel God. So God is not here. You know, the card. God is not there because you feel Him. God is there because He's there. And He's everywhere. And He's in a special presence of love and friendship in your heart. That is called grace, sanctifying grace. You believe or you don't believe. You don't believe, and you are expecting that your feelings become the rule of your behavior, you cannot have a relationship with God, even with your husband or whatever. I mean, relationships in human life are founded in virtues, so in choices, not in... The problem is that we are a very feeling-sensitive, emotional society that is all about my feelings. But, I mean, and feelings are good, bad. No, feelings are feelings, are not good or bad. But can be very bad, or can be very good when they are virtues, because virtues are ways of feeling before good. I mean, are how my person react before the things that are good. That is a virtue. So, but in prayer, we grow through the virtue. That is the reason I gave you first this paper, because they call the preambles or the guidelines or whatever you want to call them. I mean, if you are not working these things, whatever is your prayer is not working. Why? Because prayer is, you can read St. John of the Cross, it's about purifying faith, hope, and charity. Faith is more a purification of the intelligence, hope is more a purification of the memory, and charity is more a purification of the will. Because God is looking for the union with God, but He needs to transform us and take all the things that I will say they are filthy or dirty inside us, because are not about love, movements that are putting me in the center of everything. It's called disorder attachments, or whatever you want to call them. On sounds, affections, or deceitful desires. And this is the only point of prayer. So the measure I work the virtues, the measure I open to God. And more dry you are, more you are growing. The contrary of what we think. Why? Because in that moment you are truly making a choice. So you are not letting your feelings, I feel very well, how much I love you, God, how good you are. You are really good with me, I love you so much. I mean, and now He put you dry and you don't love Him so much. You were not loving Him so much before, no? When you were having the feelings. So, I mean, God tries to help us to understand ourselves and to know the truth of our hearts. Because He wants us, He truly wants the union with God. He wants the union with God until dying in a cross. I mean, and shouting in the cross, I thirst. So God is thirsting for you in a way that you cannot imagine or think. But depend on you how you are opening to that thirst of God. And you don't open to the thirst of God because you feel the thirst of God. You open to the thirst of God because you believe in Jesus crucified for you, that is the Son of God. And all is a plan of God for showing us who is God through His Son. I mean, it depends on your faith, no?
That's the question I thought of. He was saying, I thirst. He's thirsty. He's dry. He's in this main, huge desert that's saving us. It's the greatest grace of ever.
Yes, it's His love for us. God thirsts for us. It's difficult to believe that. It's difficult to understand it. It's impossible, because you, with your mind, you can understand that infinite being, with this self-sufficient in the mystery of the communion of love that He is thirsting for a creature. But that is what He revealed. And faith is not about what I think or what are my opinions. It's about what He has revealed. That is faith about. In the moment you put your thinking or your feelings or your opinion before faith, your prayer is not going to work. You are going to be very dry and very giving it up. I mean, Because God cannot work out of faith, as he repeated constantly in the gospel. Your faith has saved you. It's not the power of God. The power of God is here. The power of God is here, it's now. God is almighty now. He's almighty inside me, he's almighty everywhere. But inside me, he's almighty if I let him. And that's what faith and hope do. It's letting God to be God in the only place that he's not God. Where? Inside me. I don't know you're inside, but I know mine. And the only place God is not ruling everything is here inside me, in my heart. And then that is a huge thing.
There was a question, how to be consistent. You know, the question was, did I try the preambles during the week?
Did you try
not
then?
All the time, not every time.
I mean, I was reading today, before coming here, I was praying the Vespers. And I mean, did you know this expression? Add on this word. If all you do is listen to it, you are deceiving yourselves. James 1:19. I mean, if all you do is listening to it, you are deceiving yourselves. But there is, on another hand, the man who peers into freedom's ideal law and abides by it. He's not a forgetful listener, but one who carries out the law in practice. Blessed will this man be in whatever he does. Because you put it in practice. I mean, we are in a society that is all information. It's hearing and hearing and hearing. But your life depends on your choices, not on what you hear. And then how you are putting in practice, implementing that thing in your life. You don't do that, and the reason of making the preambles and trying to, maybe at the beginning it's a little difficult because we all have the virtues. But when you are working then, and you are making the choice of doing then, you are creating the virtues. And nobody can create virtues instead of you. It's impossible. That cannot happen. Nobody can be patient instead of you. Nobody can be humble instead of you. Nobody can be more wise instead of you. No, it's something that is given by God in the measure you open to him and you let him. But if I don't put it in practice, act on it, nothing happens here. I mean, that is the point of these things. That what I see is, even I go to a retreat and you see this at the end here. Please, when coming to speak with the priest, it is important to have answered these questions. Nobody ever has answered me the questions. I said, why? Because I don't know what they are doing in their prayer. Because if that is not working, I don't know what they are doing in their prayer. Because St. Ignatius talked about this. I mean, he said at the beginning of the spiritual exercises that he has like 14 annotations for the spiritual exercises. And he said there, I mean, if the person who is doing the spiritual exercises is not having consolations and desolations, or the evil spirit is trying to work in that person and God is trying to work in that person, ask that person very seriously if he is doing the steps of the prayers, if he is doing the preambles, taking the petition and doing the meditations, because he's sure that God is going to work. He has an absolute certainty of the action of God because he knows very well he was converted in experience of the action of God within him. And he knows that God works. But in the moment a person is not receiving some kind of consolation or desolation, it's because he's not doing something. Because God is one loves you. I mean, this is not a war. He loves you until death in a cross. Imagine how he desired to work in you and change things. But of who depend on God? I don't think so. Depend on me. I don't give the steps. He can't.
Any question here?
Well, we talk a lot about having a time every morning and having a sleep. And then one of the questions that sort of came up around was, it's hard to get into the presence of God. Is that divine? Or is that, I mean, it's partly us, but
it's both.
Sometimes it's easier to get into the presence of God, and other times it's difficult.
The way you keep in the presence of God always is faith. It's not an emotion or a feeling or a grace that you are having a story. It's faith. You know that God is here and you live in his presence. You know, we pray in the Benedictus every morning, I mean, that is the like the core of the Benedictus. I mean, when we are praying in the morning, what we say is, let me go there, is, this is the oath he swore to our father Abraham to set us free from the hands of our enemies, free to worship him without fear, holy and righteous in his sight, so in his presence, all the days of our life. That is all the plan of salvation, is that we live in the presence of God. And you educate the presence of God through love. Because the problem is not a problem of understanding. It's not a mindful thing. It's a problem of love. If I am loving a person, I am always aware of the beloved. If I am not loving him, I mean, it's an effort of the mind, but that is not what is the presence of God. The presence of God is a presence of love. And because we love him little, we find him little. I mean, St. John of the Cross, Santa Teresa of Avila, all these guys were totally always in the presence of God, as Jesus was always in the presence of the Father. Jesus didn't do anything without the Father. All his life is a prayer, it's an encounter with the Father. He brought to our humanity the mystery that he's living in the Trinity. So, being begotten by the Father, existing from the Father, and he taught us to be humans in that disposition of being aware in the, and that is the reason Jesus go to pray when they let him a moment. Why? Because the love he has to the Father. So, and he wants to be with him in intimacy.
So then, like with St. Teresa and St. John of the Cross, but it wasn't always that way. Like, did they have to become, or... You know, she started out for however many years she was in the convent and she wasn't praying and she didn't have the presence, and then, I mean, she desired that and prayed. So, like, do they just, one of our questions was, well, are they just starting out as saints, or are they like us and they're making the effort and then they become saints? Like, how human are they?
They are humans exactly as us.
Right.
The problem is that they face the problems of their humanity. The problem is that we are weak and we don't face the problems. So the problem is the attachments that we have. We don't face them. We don't want to get rid of them. And they want it. And the reason they are saying, Santa Teresa of Avila, that you were talking, was 18 years in a kind of not very fruitful prayer.
Right.
But why? Because she likes a lot to talk.
Yeah.
Because she was very intelligent, very funny, and very wise, and she liked to go to the locutory school in Spanish. That is the place where the nuns meet with the people that are coming to the convent to visit. And she liked that because she was very funny and she was very intelligent and the people appreciated her a lot. I mean, so, and she was not able to give up that. And she was all her life saying, how I have been so many years in this battle of my will that I want and I don't want. I want and I don't want. I mean, and he, after he did the step of wanting, I mean, because spiritual life is a determination. I mean, it's a strong determination. You do it, you get God, I mean. The grace I received from God in my conversion was a moment of changing my heart and putting it open to God. And God fulfilled my heart more I can desire, imagine, or what. Why? Because my heart was really, because of grace of God, yes, but I suppose God wants to give us that grace because the kingdom of God is at hand. The only thing he's wanting me is to convert, to turn to him and believe. In the moment a person is truly there, God works in that person. So in the moment you are truly in the bottom of your heart, in the depth of your existence, wanting God, so trying to live the first commandment, that is with all your heart, all your strength, all your being, and all your soul, that is reason the third action of the four action of prayer is purify my heart for loving God. I mean, but are you making acts of love in your prayer to God? Because not what you are doing in prayer. Prayer is for coming to love. To falling in love with God. And your will is moved by your intelligence, illuminated by faith, so you can move your will. And moving your will, you move your affectivity, because the will rules all the interior life that you have. It's a faculty that we have of power and love, and desires and delight. So in the moment you are moving your will, you are opening to the mystery of God through your will. The point is that my will as your will, because original sin is not totally oriented toward God, is oriented toward me. And that is called original sin. It's not a problem of the understanding, it's a problem of the heart. That we are looking to be as God. It's not here. We are not thinking, I am going to be as God. No, but when what happens when your will is not done? That you get upset and angry. Why? Because your will is your will. Or impatient, or frustrated, or disappointed. Why? Because your will is the center of your universe. I have to put my will surrender to God. And that is prayer. Prayer is learning to open to a greater love and a greater goodness and a greater beauty. Why? It's not denying nothing. It's bringing my existence to fullness. The problem is that we keep attachments that don't let us grow. That is the problem. They don't let us grow, not only in the relationship with God. Don't let me grow as a man. Don't let me grow in my relationship with others. They keep me immature, selfish, and lukewarm in my spiritual life. And that is what is called attachment. It's not only things that are not letting me to be with God. They are not letting me to love my wife in truth and my husband. They are not letting me to love my children in truth. Because these affections affect the whole of my life. Because if they don't affect the whole of my life, it means that they are not disordered affections. But they are disordered affections. And are disordered because they don't let me orient my being toward God, toward love. And not only loving Him, because I don't love God if I don't love my neighbor. I cannot love Him directly without loving my neighbor. I can make out of love to God, but in the bottom He's asking me, love the others as I love you. In this they will recognize that you are my disciples. But we live from the love of God for loving others as He loves us.
Is it possible to love others without loving God?
In my opinion, no. In a selfish way, as the pagans, yes.
Yeah,
because
they
do good to you, you do good to them. That even the satanic worshippers, they do that. You think that satanic worshippers, they are with horns and... No. They are very fine and funny people, probably. But that is not the thing, There was a movie that gave me a lot of light because it was connected with that. The Seed of the Devil. You know Polanski was? They killed later his wife, Sharon Tate, in a satanic ritual. But he knows about that. And he was this atmosphere. There were not bad guys. They were very nice, with a little weird dresses, but a lot of colors. It was not dark. So we think that this, everyone if want to be loved. So if I want to be loved, you are not going to love me. I have to be nice and kind and smiling and doing good things for so the other people love me. It's not how they are going to be loved, and also whatever evil people, they want to be loved and appreciated and recognized and valued. So that is not love. Love is giving my life to others. It's the desire of serving others. That's what Jesus put very clear. How do I desire to serve others? The test of love is serving.
So we see our distractions, and those distractions may be shown as our attachments. Then do we pray to give up those attachments?
In the moment you are recognizing them, it's a big gift. First thing is recognizing them, because majority of people even don't know that they have attachments. They think that the things, they are in a wonderful... All of us has attachment. If I don't have attachments, I will be in this moment in the union with God. But I know my attachment because the things that are not letting me to be in the union with God. So the things that put me in turmoil or anxiety or anguish or fear or impatience. And I have to know these things. And not knowing these things, who can work them? Me and God. Or God and me, better. But I need to open them to God, and knowing them is the first step. It's very important. And you know them in prayer. Out of prayer is very difficult to know them. Because we are accustomed, they are ruling our behavior. So people are living in their heads. So everything that is living in your head is contrary to God. So thinking about the past and the future, and what is going to happen, all anxiety, all anguish, all sadness, or depression, all these things are never coming from God. It's my ego in emotional level, because had bad experiences in the past, or is afraid of the future. But God is about the present, no? So you can learn a lot if you are wanting to be with God. You are wanting to be in the presence of God. Because you can know what is happening in your head. And what are the things that are bringing you to the past and the future. But nobody can know that, except you. Because you know what is happening inside you. I cannot know what is happening inside you. You can tell it to me, but I don't know with the clarity that you experience it. No? I mean, I know the things that are happening in me, and I experience them. And I can try to correct them, but it's now in my hands and in my power. So it's me who has to take the decision and the choices for changing these things. And prayer is the first stage of everything. Why? Because in prayer, if you are faithful to prayer, if you truly want to find God, you will find Him. Those who seek the Lord find Him. I mean, it's all the Bible is a book about seeking God and putting my heart in God. So, and these distractions can help me to know what are the things that are not letting me to. What are the things in me that are not oriented toward God? That is the same thing as saying, what are the things in me that are not yet oriented toward love? And that is the thing I have to face then and try ask God. I mean, if you ask God and you truly want to be free. So when Jesus said, I mean, what do you want me to do for you? And the question was stupid. Sorry for saying that about Jesus, but the question has no meaning. I mean, it's a blind man. But this is the question Jesus did to this blind man. To see, okay, according to your faith be done. But he wants him to recognize what he was wanting. Do we want to see? And sometimes I'm not sure. That we really, that wanting as that man was wanting, we want it. Because if you want, God will do it. He's almighty. But the thing is, I have to know how I want. And what is my, so if I want, but I want 1,000 things with God. Or I want, but I would like to keep it. I mean, you know, there's a meditation of St. Ignatius, very powerful, that is the three kinds of men, or three binaries, call him. I mean, I don't know what the meaning of that. It's three kind of men, it's three answers to the disordered attachments. They have something that is not bad, but how they are attached to that. What is the disposition? And he go deep, I would want to get rid of this. I want, but I don't put the means. So anyone is wanting. I mean, now depend on how you want. Why? Because God knows exactly your heart. And I cannot deceive him. I mean, he knows exactly what is in me. So, the only thing with God, always work humility and the desire of being holy. You know, Mother Teresa, when he talked about prayer, said, there are two things necessary for prayer. One is knowing that God loves me, first thing. And second, wanting to be a saint. These are the two conditions of your prayer. The first is the love of God for you, because it's about his love for you and the graces he wants to pour in you. And second, wanting to be a saint. Because now is how I am going to choose in my life. And that determination of the heart of wanting to be a saint and opening to the love of God is almost everything in the spiritual life. Because
one more question? Anybody, we have time for one more question.
Yeah. It's practicing it. Do it. I mean, try to put it then in practice. I mean, for me, some days I go very easy to prayer. Other days, it's more difficult. What I do? I begin with the preambles, boop, boop. And I go deeper in prayer even the days that I am easy. Why? Because you are opening your being to God, you are understanding who is God, you are bringing to reality inside you the mystery of a God who indwells in you. And I insist, this is a very important point. If you are trying to find God through your head, you will never find God. It's clear what I am saying? You will never find God. You find God within you. When you find God, look for God within you, you are looking for a personal relationship with God. And when you are looking through your head with God, you are looking for an idea of God. And that doesn't work. Because God is wanting to bring you to an intimacy with Him that is the goal of all the gospel. I mean, is that we come to that intimacy with Him, that with a God that is everywhere. Of course, He's the creator of everything, but is in by grace, in a special way, in us and within us. And you know, all the process of spiritual life is letting Him, you know, the indwellings of Santa Teresa of Avila, the interior castle, is going deeper in what, in the center of my being, so He can become the Lord of all the whole thing. And it's a process of that. But of whom depends?
Can you give an example when you go into the head instead of the heart?
Through faith, your personal relationship is, to the head is very difficult to get a personal relationship. But you go in the heart is recognizing His presence within you. So that you are in Him and He's in you. It's not that God is here as a material, physical thing. I mean, because the expression is of constantly in St. John, especially, remaining in him and he remains in us. I mean, is a reciprocal possession of the persons that is founded in love. So it's not that, it's not a physical thing, it's a fact that he is here and I am in him. I mean, and how I am opening to that mystery of a personal relationship. Always in prayer, if you are not getting a personal relationship, you are not praying. You are thinking, you are not praying. You are thinking, it's good thinking, yes, very good. I'm not saying that it's bad to think, I mean. Or you are reading, you are not praying. I mean, it's good reading, yes, very good. I mean, I was reading there. Many saints become saints reading books. I say, okay, maybe. San Jose Maria. I don't think that he said that, David. Maybe that helps them to open to God. Many saints become saints because they prayed. No, all saints become saints because they prayed.
A lot of saints read a lot of books.
Yes, that is. So, I mean, work in it, but try to work it. I mean, I'm going to give you a little paper. This is the retreats we are going to have this year. Here are the 5, you are here, 7, no? 8. 5, 7, 8. So you have on the back with this beautiful image of Mary. And you know, it's a picture of El Greco that painted her. It's Mary nursing Jesus. She's looking to Jesus.
I see.
Yes.
And even this?
And this is also that, because it's the next day we are going to talk about this. You know this, majority of you know it, but it's good that you pray on it. It's good that you pray on it. You know it, I mean, but it's not that I'm trying to give you something new. I'm trying you to open to this mystery of, you know, prayer is an encounter with the thirst of God and your thirst. It's how the Catechism of the Church defines prayer. It's an encounter of two thirsts, the thirst of God and your thirst. I mean, and God thirsts to give you. That is the only thing he's thirsting.
Prayer life should always lead us more fully into sacramental life too, but when you were talking about disordered attachments, like if you find the root of, you know, like why am I attached to this, and you go for some wound or whatever, then you kind of have to look at that and repent of, forgive people who hurt you or whatever and all that.
Yeah, so you need to do that for freeing from the people. I mean, when you forgive, what you are doing is freeing yourself from others. When you don't forgive, you are keeping the wound inside you. I mean, forgiving is freeing yourself. And these are some questions that you can take for the next day. It's more than questions, how you feel before God. I mean, it's something that we can begin the next day class about this thing. I mean, how you feel with God. I mean, during the day, try to get a little aware of how, what is happening inside you. I can give that to them also. So it's more about how do you feel yourself before God in your ordinary life. So in the daily life, what are you feeling about God? How you react in the situations of your life?